loud ass intro plays. And then I say, welcome to Shoujo. I am your host, Sarah, joined by my friend Joe. And every week we cover episodes of a shoujo anime podcast, the genre that is typically targeting a young female audience. So our macho man Joe here was not the target demographic and has not seen these, but I have. And so I am showing Joe Shoujo. And that's our podcast here. Joe, what have you been up to since we last spoke?
Can you imagine if we reviewed podcast episodes?
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did say that.
Shit.
No, it's
fine. Yeah.
It was just okay. Funny. No. I think people know what we do. It's just that was funny. Like, just
damn
this
it.
Week we review episode of the daily or whatever.
Crap. Okay,
somebody
guys.
Does that. Like react. That's like react culture. You know what I mean? How there's like entire YouTube channels of people reacting to other people's YouTube videos or whatever.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I feel other than that, it wasn't too bad of an intro.
No. We're still going. This is the live take.
Okay.
We're not a react channel. Actually, well, I mean, we kind of are, right? Because I guess we're watching a thing and then we recap. Well, we also provide some analysis and our thoughts and opinions. We're not just solely like a summarization. We're not the Wikipedia.
Well, does anyone just do that? Okay.
Sometimes I've listened to some things being like, we're gonna do an analysis of something, and they just give a summary, and that's it.
Well, that's not analyzing it. That's just regurgitating.
It's terrible. Okay. Anytime you try to like, I've tried to find like anime analysis of things of like, I'm like, watch this show and I want to see what people are talking about. And it's just a recap. And I'm like, cool. Thanks for the recap of the thing I'm already familiar with. This happens.
Yeah. I'm really wishing you had agreed to do the Love Island Australia recap podcast with me, because literally there are no podcasts covering it right now. And we could have been the one. We could have talked about how trash the producers are. Yeah? What show?
I watched Traitors, the U.S. Traitors season 2 with my sister while I was in Houston.
Fun. Did you like it? Alex Cumming or whatever? Alex Cummings?
Yeah, Alan Cummings. Yeah. It was good. It was goofy. It was ridiculous. I don't know if I would like watch it not with people. I don't think I would just sit there and watch it myself, but it was pretty fun.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of weirdo does that?
But everybody else I know except for me.
Is this the season with like Dan from Big Brother and Parvati?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I watched that. That was the first season I watched.
Okay. Yeah. It's like all
how did you feel? Because it's like no one I'm assuming that you've ever seen on TV, because you don't watch other reality shows. So as like a clean slate viewer, how was it?
It was fine. Like, I don't really, because I know all the shows. Like, I'm familiar with all the shows. Like, I've seen like seasons of Survivor, and I know what Big Brother is, and I've seen, you know, some of the Housewives. Like, I've seen episodes and stuff like that, so I'm familiar with all of them. Well, I wasn't familiar with like Bling Empire or whatever, but I feel like I could piece it together. And I felt like that kind of helped.
Mm.
But like, yeah, I didn't know. I mean, my sister knew some of them, so she was telling me she knew all like the housewife stuff. And so helpful.
Older was your sister than us.
She's 2 years older than me.
Dang. I don't know if I've ever spoken to her. I feel like I've seen her maybe in quick passing, but she sounds cool.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Why did you watch reality TV with her growing up, man?
I did watch a lot of reality TV growing up. I watched like a ton of reality TV. This is why. Growing up, when was that? That's like way late.
Okay, in high school. High school.
No, I didn't watch. I watched like the VH1 MTV.
Okay.
Reality shows. I watched like Flavor of Love and My Super Sweet 16 or whatever. I watched some of The Challenge when that was on. I watched some Real World. I watched like The Jersey Shore. I mean, like I watched that stuff.
Okay. Because that's the reality I never got into until I was like an adult and retroactively watched all of The Challenge. Because I don't know, maybe I was just like MTV's for cool people and I'm not cool, or I just didn't watch a lot of cable. I just like watched what my family watched, which was Big Brother, Survivor, Amazing Race, and Bachelor. Yeah. And it's fun to, although it is, my family does just like talk over each other and everyone's like, quiet, we're watching, but then none of us can shut our traps while we're watching it also. Or then everyone has to go pee. And so it's like a whole ordeal to get a single episode watched when you're in a family unit.
Yeah. Although I feel like they're kind of designed where you could just walk away and then walk back and it's fine.
Yeah, I guess.
That's how I felt some of about us it hang as I on would constantly every... walk away. I played a lot of Balatro while we were watching this, so I mostly just played that also. What?
Okay, that's a board game?
No, it's a video game.
No, it's a game. Okay. Is it based off a board game?
It's based off of poker.
Oh, okay. And you just play by yourself?
You construct poker hands, but you like have all these different like bonuses and stuff you can get. So you're trying to accumulate points. It's draw poker.
I don't know how to play poker.
Okay, it's pretty straightforward.
I don't know how to play anything.
I got that game while I was in Houston because I'm like, I need something to do. So I bought that game and I played like a shit ton of it. So
okay.
I also did that while I was doing Thanksgiving.
Before you talk about what else you've done, what do you think about for a recommendation section? We just talk about what we both consumed from the past recommendation for that.
Yeah. So we're going to change this up. Instead of being like, recommend each other a new thing every week and then not do anything, I think we're going to pick something from the recommendation pool and then we're going to give you updates on it. So we'll have that as our last section today. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Other than playing Forgotten Anne and watching Traitors, was there anything else? I guess because we haven't recorded in quite some time because we recorded in advance for Thanksgiving break. So I'm sure so many epic things have happened. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For my book club, I read The Three Body Problem.
Oh, there's a show based off that, right? I feel like I've heard good things. I have no idea what it's about. It's fine.
Science.
Okay.
Science is happening. We're in it's the Cultural Revolution of China, and we don't like scientists right now. But what if you went to a secret government satellite dish place and did some stuff? That would be cool, right? I don't know how to talk about this book without spoiling things.
It doesn't sound interesting to me, but no worries.
It's like it's kind of like a little bit like a thriller where there's like, oh, some weird stuff is happening. Like there's this weird society of scientists and like some of them keep dying under mysterious circumstances and things are going on. And the military is calling calling you in. You, the scientist, POV character. Actually, he has a name. Wong. Wong's being called in to assist the military /police/ other government organizations to infiltrate the scientific group to figure out what's going on. Cause you know, we're in wartime, baby. And even though it doesn't seem like it, what could happen? What if you played a weird fucked up VR video game that includes not only putting things on your eyes, but also a suit that gives you haptic feedback? And you play a video game, which doesn't take advantage of the haptic feedback very much, but it is part of the story. So that would be cool, right?
So cool. It makes me think of, this just came into my, did you ever read the Shadow Children books as a kid where it's like overpopulations and so each household can only have two children, but a few households will have had another child and then they had to keep that child hidden from society. And it's about those kids.
No.
No, okay. I wonder if that's any good to read as an adult because I'm like, oh yeah, that was a cool book. I should read it as a 31-year-old woman. When I probably read it when I was 12. But that it's kind of makes me think of that. So you read it in its entirety?
Yep, that book club works where we just read the whole thing. So it's part of the series. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to read the next of the series unless we do that in book club, because I'm very bad at following along with series.
Yeah. Well, because it does the thing where like a lot of the times there's like it doesn't pick up right where the last one left off. I mean, obviously people read them years apart, but like it's always a little weird if you read it back to back and not immediately addressing what happened in the last book.
I some of my friends at the book club did start reading the next book, and there is a time skip, and there does seem to be following mostly different characters. So
I don't like that.
Which honestly for this book is fine, because the characters were not the main draw of this book and were not particularly interesting, but the rest of the stuff was. So maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything else? Any anime or fun activities?
I don't think so. I'm still chugging along through the stuff I'm watching.
Okay.
But I don't think I have stuff I did. Anything. Okay. Oh, wait. Hold on. I did finish something, didn't I? What did I finish? Did I already talk about? I can't remember it. It's escaped me. Maybe I'll think of it. You talk and I'll try to think of my thing.
Okay. First off, I bought a couple of books Friday night from Barnes & Noble. Mostly I started two new manga series that I'm into. But I also picked up a for real book, which I haven't read one in a while. And this one's called Close to Shore by Michael Capuzzo. And it's about the series of shark attacks in 1916 in New Jersey. So I'm excited to read about this. It's a bit more formally written, but it'll be interesting. Because, like, it was people didn't perceive sharks the same way they do now. And it was, like, unprecedented to see all these attacks and stuff. So I'm excited to read that. Did you think of your thing?
No.
Okay, hold on.
It is lost forever. And you have stood up and walked away. I guess I'll fill the air. Shark attacks. I heard that because of those shark attacks, Woodrow Wilson lost his home state of New Jersey. Is that true?
I have no idea. I have not gotten to that point yet.
Okay.
Some people speculate it partially inspired the Jaws story, although I think the author has denied that. But okay. The mangas I picked up and started, of which I had never like seen them around, so I just took a gamble and they paid off. One of them is a much more just like sugary sweet manga, high school love, blah blah blah, called Tiger and Dragon. That's I like the art style of. Hold on. Okay. And then we've got What He Who Doesn't Believe in Fate Says, which I normally, or it's been a while since I read one that has like a male protagonist, but basically this guy can see like the red strings of fate, which is like a thing where, oh, everyone has their fated partner. They have like a string that connects to that partner. And so he can see them. And then he has a crush on this chick and can see that her string is not attached to him. So kind of like struggling with like, I'm not the one for her, but also screw fate and this and that. So I'm liking this one a lot as well. It might be, oh my God, Joe. And when I was at Barnes & Noble for the first time ever, I saw that they have like smut, like for real, the smut manga wrapped in plastic so you can't read it, but like on bookshelves. I was like, oh my God, I have never seen that before.
We made it. We did it.
Yeah, I was like, what? Crazy. Let's see. I took a photo of one of them. I've seen it online before. I think it's called Fire in His Fingertips. And it's like about this firefighter romance thing. Smut thing. So that was wild. And then I watched on Disney Plus, there's a documentary, I think it's called Music by John Williams. And it's just kind of like covers his entire music career. And it was so good. And I was so moved. Yeah. God, he just rules. He makes the just best stuff good. Ever. Yeah, for real. Trying to think. I went to my dad's for Thanksgiving, got to pet some cows and pigs and goats and chickens. beat them at virtual mini golf and then was the worst at real life mini golf. And been playing Baldur's Gate 3, which you've seen. Been playing my ish. And something that I didn't think would happen has happened, and I'm very excited. So it is so much, is so worth it to do replays of that game. Because I was like disappointed that there wasn't this one thing, but there is.
Oh.
Yeah. So
you got
good.
You triggered a new event.
Yeah. Oh man. Cause I was like, I did a thing oh, this probably won't happen, but just in case, in my mind, this is what should happen. And then it happened. Oh, so that's exciting. And yes, we'll do our playthrough once we figure out for realsies, guys. And I was like, oh, here we go again. They're going to play Baldur's Gate. But we are. I'm going to play my little dwarf gal, Ymir. But yeah, I think that's pretty much what I've been up to. And I'm freaking psyched to talk about Chihaya Furu because this show is so good. And someone on my stream last night, Bleach, one of my big anime viewer, he said, you do have good taste because like all the shows you covered have been good. He did say Kimi ni Todoke didn't do it for him. But like, and that's someone who like super watches a lot of anime and hadn't watched any of these. So, and you watch a lot of anime and you haven't seen these. So opening eyes that there's like anime you might think you might either so old you don't see it around anymore or just dismiss it maybe because of cover art or the genre.
I feel like part of the problem with Chihaya Furu is the name.
Yeah.
It's not a cool name.
I mean, it's well, it's very much a show about knowing what it's about, of which no one knows what it's about until they watch the show.
Yeah, it's also a show about a game that feels made up, even though I know it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Taichi explains some rules in these episodes that I feel like are made up.
Okay, the faulting thing, I was like, I feel like that should count as a fault, but it doesn't. But we'll get to it.
I have thoughts about this game, about the game aspect of this game.
No, love it.
Which I think this may not be the greatest game of all time.
Maybe that's why it hasn't caught on outside. It barely catches on in its own origin country, let alone the world.
Yeah, I don't. It's one of these things that I'm kind of astounded that got made into a game. It's kind of a weird, very specific thing.
I mean, it's like Japan. I don't know. I mean, it was made. I don't know how long ago it was made, but Japan has the interesting history of being like pretty isolated and not like influenced by other cultures until fairly recently in modern history.
Mm-hmm.
So like seeing what happens when it's like not, there's no outside influences, because maybe they wouldn't have come up with it if they had whatever, you know, is more popular.
They got really into
the rest of the world because they got colonized. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's fun. I'm so bad at it, but I think I like things that test your memory.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More than luck.
Well, yeah. I don't feel like that many games are luck based.
I don't know. Is it all the gambling games?
Yeah, but
or
those
they have
are
to
gambling.
Do accounting,
that's like,
that's and I
the
can't
genre
do that.
Of game is gambling is because it's like partially luck based. Some of it isn't even luck based.
Whatever. We'll hear about all your hatred of this game that I adore.
Okay, it's not
once
really
we get
about
to it.
All right. Well, we're going to do our voice actor for this week. The voice actor for Arata Wataya is Yoshimasa Hosoya, who you may know as the voice of Reiner from Attack on Titan.
That's like the captain, the blonde guy, right?
No.
Oh, that's the...
He's the blonde guy, but
colossal...
one of the soldier guys.
Okay, yeah, he's the one who had the hots for Annie?
Yeah, he's tall.
Yeah. No, not
yes,
Annie.
He did. I think he did.
No. The skinny guy had the.
Oh, the skinny guy did.
This one had the hot.
He's the friend of
Historia.
The skinny guy. Yeah. He's the buff.
Yeah,
dude.
The bulky guy. Yep. Okay, yeah. That's right.
He's also the voice of Tokoyami in My Hero Academia, the bird boy himself.
Yeah, he's cool.
The guy with the coolest design.
I like Tokoyami so much.
Also known, or also the voice of Asahi Azumane from Haikyuu. Is that someone important? Sure was in a lot of episodes.
I think it might be the guy with gray hair and like a little, or he's the big guy with the spike or the serve. I can't remember, but you haven't watched Haikyuu?
I've never seen Haikyuu. I don't like sports
anime. I like it so much. It's so good. It gets you so fucking hyped for volleyball, which I don't give a rat's ass about normally.
Okay. Also, the voice of Nicholas D. Wolfwood in Trigun Stampede, the remake.
Ah.
Wolfwood, the cool guy. He's got the big cross.
I haven't seen Trigun.
Wolfwood is cool. He is.
I know, it was Johnny Young Bosch's first anime voiceover.
Oh, yeah.
So,
English
dub. I haven't watched it, though. Yeah.
Also, the voice of Welf Crozo in Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? A show that I like, even though I think it's really stupid.
That name! The worst name
of all time. It's an incredibly bad name. I almost respect how bad it is. I've watched the first episode. Yeah. It gets better, but not that much better. And lastly, also the voice of male Robin in Super Smash Bros. So anytime Robin shows up from Fire Emblem.
Which, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, the default name for the protagonist in Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yes, Awakening.
Yeah, nice, nice.
There he is. He's also in a lot of other sports anime. He's in like the Ace of Diamonds or whatever, the baseball one. He's also in the basketball one. I didn't list those because I don't think either of us would know those.
I know, but sports anime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kuroko's basketball. Yeah. I've watched like a couple episodes.
72 episodes.
Sometimes the art style will put me off. And that one didn't quite do it for me. But those are some pretty notable roles. So he's done a lot.
He's somebody in Mobile Suit Gundam Iron Blooded Orphans that I didn't know. So I didn't list it. Still making stuff, you know, still having a lot of these credits are from like 2020s. So
we did just compliment him in last episode how good he was at voice acting. So makes sense.
That's true. He's somebody in Metaphor ReFantazio, another thing with a good name.
Right. No idea who that is. Stupid ass name.
It's good. I think you should just keep adding stuff to your names. Anyway, Chihaya Furu verse 7 is called But for Autumn's Coming.
Makes sense.
I have nothing to say. I think I can't like think about these names ever again. I just need to say them and move on.
Yeah.
We open on the Karuta Club practicing. Chihaya is way better than Taichi. She wins her practice against him and then falls asleep. Taichi explains to Hana that Chihaya is good because of her innate reaction times. And Hana thinks this is great because if she's good enough to like play in the championship match, she can do so while wearing one of her family's outfits. And that'll be like really good advertising. And then she shows him a brochure.
You see the shirt he's wearing in this scene?
Is it the one where it's like split text?
It says like happy on like his rib cage. And then, yeah, another phrase like on his opposing chest.
Very weird shirt.
Yeah.
Continuing with the trend of Taichi has the weirdest fashion sense out of all of them. Taichi reflects on his own performance and thinks about how between him, Arata, and Chihaya, he was always the worst. Chihaya wakes up and announces that she's going to recruit a new member, the second smartest guy in their grade, because they need 5 members, and then leaves. And right now they only have 3, so we need to get 2 more. We cut to a nerd doing some studying while all of his classmates loudly mock him for being a nerd. His name is Tsutomu, and he doesn't like school for this exact reason. He does like studying, though, so he just does that all the time. However, we learn that he's insecure about being the second in his grade behind Taichi, who I guess is the best, even though he spends most of his time studying. So despite putting in the work, he is not number one. Chihaya shows up to recruit him, and he ignores her initially. She tells him that Karuta is a game for smart people and that he should play with them. Tsutomu says that he won't play a game that won't help him with his studies, so there isn't anything in it for him. Chihaya tells her that she doesn't care and drags him off while he clings to his desk. So a thing I didn't write down is like, so his name is Tsutomu, which is like close to the word for desk, which is Tsukue. So people call him Desk Kun because he just sits at his desk all day to mock him. Yeah. And here he is literally clinging to his desk. This becomes an important symbol later on in this episode.
She's really strong.
Yes, I guess. She doesn't look very strong. Maybe this guy, but he is also pretty small of a guy.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
He's what did they guy. Say? He's
he looks also, like a jelly bean or something?
Yes.
Is that what one of his classmates said?
He's also, I'm remembering how we were just like, oh, everybody's attractive. He is markedly unattractive. Chihaya brings Tsutomu and his desk to the Karuta classroom. Chihaya explains Karuta to him and then says that it's a mental game. She goes to show him how the game works with Tai Chi. One second. I'm about to sneeze.
Bless you.
Thank you. Tsutomu realizes that his academic rival Tai Chi is in this club, so he starts to like pay attention and see what's going on with it. He tells him that if this is really a game for smart people, then they should be able to play with all the cards face down since they just need to memorize their position anyway, right? Initially, they refuse and he starts to leave. But then Tai Chi's like, dude, what's this bullshit? Like, why is this kid here coming here talking shit? But they just decide to try it face down anyway. So they're gonna go for pure memorization, Karuta. They start playing while Tsutomu watches. They're able to get the first couple rounds correct, but Tai Chi notes that it gets harder the longer it goes on because you have to memorize where everything is for a longer period of time. Tai Chi starts winning and he realizes that his advantage over Chihaya is his memory. This was like a thing she was never particularly good at. So he starts moving the cards around to mess with her because you're like allowed to reposition cards in some cases. I don't exactly remember why.
Yeah, I think it's like an option. Yeah, because you just have to like announce that you're moving the card so that they know to rememorize the new placement. I don't know that there's a limit to what you can do on that. But yeah, it's a thing.
Tai Chi starts to dominate as he remembers that he actually hates losing and likes to be competitive. He sweeps her and Chihaya is frustrated. Tsutomu leaves with his desk. Tai Chi goes after him and asks him his name because he hasn't asked him it up to this point. Tsutomu ignores him and thinks about how frustrating guys like Tai Chi are, who are good at everything and have friends and are also attractive. Tai Chi's like, so are you going to join or what? And Tsutomu's like, tells him that he has no talent anyway. All he can do is study, so he can't play Karuta.
Well, I think Tai Chi's also... Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was going to say... I think it pisses him off because he's like so fixated on Tai Chi and knows who he is. And then to know that Tai Chi has no idea who he is.
Oh, as, yeah. Like, yeah,
the
yeah.
runner up in the grade is frustrating for him.
It's like you don't even realize this is a contest. I never think about yeah. you at all. Don Draper voice. Yeah. Tai Chi thinks about his parents yelling at him or telling him to only do things that he can be the best at. And he gets frustrated and he picks up Sotomu's desk and throws it. He tells him that he's not even good at Karuta and it's really hard for him to do, but he does it anyway because he likes to put in the effort and he wants team members that were also going to put in the effort. And then he leaves. Tsutomu goes to fetch his desk, but then decides to chase after Tai Chi instead, leaving his desk behind as he goes. End of episode.
Yeah.
New so member recruited.
Yes. Well, what did you see? I thought it was fun to see the shift in power in the match, you know, where normally Chihaya just crushes Tai Chi because of her reactions, but in this scenario it's like plays to his strength of memorization and it like displays how much he thinks about, because she just is memorizing the easy ones, but he like has the entire like every card that's been played that match going through his mind to take into consideration, like it can't be this card that sounds like it because it's already been read, so I know that I can go on the first whatever for this one. Like, it just shows very strategic, very, very good memory for Tai Chi, and that's his weapon.
Yeah. It surprised me this isn't like a variant. This is not like a normal variant of Karuta, because it seems like this would be a thing that people would have thought of to like play it as.
I mean, it seems hard enough as is. Like,
yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I don't know what percentage of people who play it regularly actually memorize like the majority of the cards, or like a balance between just seeing it as it's being read and going for it faster versus like knowing, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But like, I can't memorize all that in 15 minutes.
I know, but this is why I'm saying, like, because this is like a variant that like changes the like skill set of the game. But I feel like regular Karuta, you really don't need to memorize stuff that well. You just need to like do like okay. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I do think there's like kind of a problem with like, it's hard to convey somebody's good memory in a TV show. So it's kind of just like we get a montage of him picking up cards and it's like, okay, you know, that's fine. It's just not like action-y particularly, but it's, you know, it's fun seeing Tai Chi good at stuff, I guess. I like him a little more this episode. He kind of puts in the work to do the recruiting to a certain extent. I'm going to have thing to say overall with this episode and the next episode, because all of the boys' motivations are all kind of the same, which is interesting.
One track minds.
Yeah.
Anything but winning or being better than others.
I mean, Tsutomu's whole thing is like he is running away from his, because he doesn't feel like he fits in. He knows he's not like particularly charismatic or, you know, attractive or any of that stuff. He's kind of only leaning into the thing he's good at as a escape from like social life, because he finds it difficult. So he's just sticking to the thing he finds easy. And, you know, that's symbolized through his desk, rejects the desk at the end of the episode. It's all good, right? Like, I think all that stuff's pretty good. But it's very much framed in like a running away thing. And like next episode, we're going to recruit somebody who's also problem is that he's running away from a thing. It's just interesting that these are like the guy's motivation of the last two is like you are avoiding some problem that Karuta can get you through somehow.
Yeah. Well, I think with is it terrible if I call him Desk Tomu? Because I get Tsutomu.
Tsutomu.
Not necessarily the sport, but more like this is a place to belong, being the benefit of joining. You know, because Chihaya is super into it. Tai Chi is into Chihaya. Kana is into like the history of the whole thing. And then Destomu, I think. Like, this is something, if he's intelligent, can play to his talents, but it's mostly just finding a place where he can belong and enjoy something else at school rather than, well, actually just enjoy school, because he said he doesn't like school. He just likes studying.
Yeah. I'm going to have some things to say about I think the vibe of the club is next episode.
This is because Porky nickname.
Yes, this is extremely because of that.
Okay, let's get into it.
All right, verse 8 is called The Sounds of the Waterfall. We open on the four Karuta club members advertising their club outside the school. They have no success recruiting their last member. It's chemistry class and Chihaya is asleep. She says that she didn't eat breakfast because she woke up early to try to recruit people. After class, she sees Tsutomu studying Karuta and tells him that they'll practice after school. And then her stomach growls really loudly and he tells her to go eat. So it's... they interact like normal, I guess. She goes to the cafeteria and recognizes one of the students there as the kid they played Karuta against back in middle school in that tournament. She calls him Porky because he's fat, and his name's actually Nishida, so I'm going to call him that because Christ alive, girl. The fat phobia in this episode is insane.
I think it's mostly because he eats a lot of pork buns.
Oh, sure.
She calls.
I'm sure that's why.
That's just you, Joe, looking into it, because that's all you can think of.
That she calls the fat kid Porky? Yeah. I don't know how I could ever come to that conclusion.
She's insensitive. We all know
I have some opinions about Chihaya to get to at the end of this.
Lord, okay.
They're not great.
Okay.
We cut to Tai Chi teaching Hana and Tsutomu about Karuta. She bursts in and is like, I found a new member. She drags Tai Chi along to go see Nishida, and they see him buying some food while wearing tennis clothes. Chihaya ambushes him, and he recognizes both her and Tai Chi. He tells them he's not playing Karuta because it's lame and he likes playing tennis. Besides, if he wanted to play Karuta, he'd just, like, go to the Karuta Society. He's like, why does he have to join a school club? He could just do it whenever he wants. Chihaya begs him to join while still calling him Porky to his face. He's like, my name's Nishida, and also, I'm not joining, so bye, and then leaves. We see Nishida playing tennis. He's pretty good. However, we learn that he is haunted by being defeated by Arata back in elementary school. Chihaya watches him play and realizes that he's saying the Karuta poems while playing... like tennis to match the timing of his swings. This does not make any sense to me at all.
Yeah. I no.
Yeah, I don't understand it. She says one of the poems out loud, which like messes up his rhythm, and he knocks one of the balls out of the court and has to go get it. While he's getting it, Chihaya runs into him and tells him that he's using tennis to play to replace Karuta, and it's not fair to tennis. And he's like, whatever, and just leaves. He's obviously rattled by her, though, and he can't focus on tennis. Eventually, he's just like, I have to call it quits and like leaves early. Chihaya waits for Nishida to show up while Taichi resumes his lesson with the new recruits. He explains the faulting system in Karuta, which is like if you touch the wrong card, it's a fault, which is some kind of penalty, unless it's near the correct card, like on the same size, in which case it's okay.
Okay, so it's dependent if it's on your side or your opponent's side. So if you like hit the wrong card on your side, it's all right. But if you hit the wrong card on their side, then it's a fault, which means anytime there's a fault, it means they get to send one of their cards to you, which is eliminating cards on their side, because the point of winning is to get all of the cards off your side of the field. So yeah.
Okay.
I guess that's, yeah.
Anyway, you can somehow use this to your advantage to strategize. I didn't really understand it, but you can do that. Mm. Nishida shows up and thinks that they're all pretty weak at Karuta because he sees like the newbies playing. Hana and Tsutomu are like, who's this jerk? And Taichi tells him that he was number two in the nation in elementary school. Nishida says it doesn't matter because they'll never beat Arata anyway. So like, let's just all do something else, I guess. And then he starts to leave. Taichi stops him and tells him to play a match against Chihaya. Nishida agrees on the condition that if he wins, they'll leave him alone and also buy him lunch for a month. Chihaya agrees and they play. The game starts and Nishida is still very good. He thinks that the tennis has been making him faster. He thinks back to his childhood where he played Karuta all the time because it was fun and he liked being competitive. But then he lost to Arata and thought he'd never catch up with him, so he just quit and started playing tennis. We jump back to the present. Chihaya has caught up to him and has taken a slight lead. Nishida takes one of her cards and then sends her a card that's difficult for her to take. He makes a comeback and starts to take his own lead. Nishida's having a good time and Chihaya comments on it. She starts going on a tear, though, like getting those real short syllable ones. Nishida's like, what's up with that? And Taichi explains that Chihaya can sometimes hear the second syllable of a card before it's read. No further explanation.
So not buying into the sport aspect of this show.
It's hard to summarize. What do you want me to summarize with this?
Okay, but in the moment, do you understand what's happening?
Yeah. She's getting like feature sight. She's like heart of the cards winning.
Right? I think it's more so that like the enunciation of it, like most folks just hear it when it's been more verbalized, but maybe her hearing is so good that like just the slightest shift in whatever they're saying is enough of an indication for her to act upon.
Okay, that was not clear to me. I literally thought she just memorized the tape.
No, because it's Taichi reading.
But it's Taichi reading it, so she couldn't do that. So I'm just like, I guess she's, I think this goes with the cards of God thing whispering in her ear. Like the thing that Arata's grandpa talked about. It kind of feels like, I thought this was like a heart of the cards thing.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. That's what I thought was happening. I thought we were going to get like a little mystical here.
Well, that's not fair for anyone going against her.
But this is an anime. I mean, it's not real.
But sports animes, they can't always be good.
No, I know.
They always have to go through the trials and tribulations.
I think it's fine. Like, I think it's fine that she has like slight future sight. I think that's cool. Even I just think it's the way it's framed is very weird because Nishida's just like, what's happening? And Taichi's just like, oh yeah, she can do that. It's just like, what?
Anyway,
it comes down to the wire, but Chihaya draws faster. Nishida thinks that maybe Chihaya has been putting in the effort just like he used to as a kid. The game ends and Chihaya wins. Nishida decides to leave and Taichi asks him to join since Taichi is not a good practice partner for Chihaya, but Nishida would be. Nishida doesn't say anything. Chihaya apologizes to him for pestering him so much. And just then the tennis coach shows up and asks Nishida why he skipped out on practice. Nishida tells her that he's quitting tennis for Karuta because they need a new member. The Karuta Club thanks him and tells them as a thank you that Chihaya needs to stop calling him Porky. She doesn't. The end. We get an after credit scene where Chihaya says that she has a club now and is no longer alone.
Oh, I did not see that part.
End of. Yeah, that was me being like, oh, by the way, sometimes there's post credit scenes. So there we go. New member.
Yep.
Nishida. Also, okay, so again, this is the thing where it's like Nishida is somehow replacing Kaoru with tennis, which I just does not make sense to me at all.
Well, I think it's that, like, he really wanted to be good at Kaoru, and when he lost, he was discouraged, and so he decided to do something that came more easily to him, but he was also less invested in, so it, you know, it didn't matter if he was winning or losing as much.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
It's a pride thing.
Yeah. But this is the thing that bothers me about these two episodes, is that they both kind of have, both Nishida and Tsutomu have the same motivations as Taichi, where it's just like, I stopped playing this because I knew I wasn't going to be the best, even though I liked playing it. And I tried to like do something that I thought I could be the best at because I was running away from it. And now I've decided to do it. They're all kind of in the same boat.
Mostly. Well, Nishida and Taichi, yes, but also it's both, they're both connected, or both their inferiority complex or whatever is tied to Arata, like, and what a, you know, figure he is in their age group of, and like how good he is, that it was discouraging to them. Which I guess is like,
but then
just talking Arata up more.
For Tsutomu, his Arata is Taichi.
Yes.
But it's like the same kind of motivation. It's like all kind of the same. They're all in the same like family of motivational group. It's just weird because like these two, because like we get Hana first, right? And Hana's thing
Kana.
Is like very, yeah, we get Hana's things first. And it's very Kana. Like, are you correcting my friends? Okay, go ahead and Kana. Say Tsutomu. Go ahead.
Tsutomu.
Okay. Why are you correcting my pronunciation? I said Hana.
You're saying Hana, like flower. Her name is Kana. K.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I wrote it down wrong.
Yep.
Whatever. Kana. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Anyway, her thing is like actually specific to Kaoru, whereas both Nishida and Tsutomu are both like, these are just kind of generic. Like, there's nothing about Kaoru specifically that's like achieves these things. Like, you could replace any sport for them and this would still work. So I don't really get the, what I still haven't really gotten is like, what is the hook for Kaoru specifically?
I mean, like in the first few episodes, they said it is like, if you're good, it's like such a small pool of competitors that if you're good among them, then you're like the best in the world at this thing. So I guess that's part, you know, versus like every country does every other sport. So it's like you're just one individual in a sea of other people doing the same thing. So it's more like unique, I guess. And yeah, for Tsutomu, it's the, you know, the mental aspect of it. Well, you know, I mean, we'll probably learn more about them individually. I don't know. Didn't you just have like this guy that you had a chip on your shoulder about growing up? Like, damn, that guy's always better than me, blah, blah, blah. It seems to be the staple of a boy's childhood, if the show has taught me anything.
I mean, I guess so, but I feel like the takeaway of these things is like becoming the best is not the important thing here. It's like actually enjoying playing the game, right? Because that's what Chihaya is doing. She's like enjoying the gameplay. Whereas I feel like both of them get, like, all the boys are getting messed up because they're trying to be the best at a thing, even though that's, like, not fundamentally what's important.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what their reasons for playing, necessarily. Or what would be a better reason for one of them, you think?
Oh, I'm just saying, it's interesting that Kana's thing is, like, specific to Kaoru. Like, the things that she liked is hyper-specific to the game of Kaoru. You couldn't replace it with, like, you know, this couldn't be about fighting games. This couldn't be about marbles. This couldn't be about baseball. It has to be Kaoru for her. Whereas with
Tsutomu about
Nishida, I feel like you could just replace this with any other sport and it would be basically the same story, which is fine.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's like, the show hasn't quite sold me on Kaoru yet as like a specific sport that has something going for it. You know what I mean? Like, it hasn't. Like when you're saying, you know, when you watch Haikyuu and you're like, oh, this makes me care about volleyball, right? This has not made me care about Kaoru yet.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember my first viewing if I felt as strongly about the card game as much as just the characters and stuff, but it definitely, you know, we're still getting into it, getting settled with Carta as a concept here. So maybe once we go a little further, it'll be. But with Kana, it's not necessarily even specifically Carta. It's just like traditional Japanese culture that she is interested in. And this is a game that is like drawn around that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the things where it's just like, I don't really get why Nishida is fixated on Carta and not tennis.
Well, Carta was first in his life and that's what he grew up playing. So it's like something he enjoyed. And then so it's natural to gravitate back towards something that you enjoyed as a kid, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could be that. I'm just waiting to see like what the pitch on cards has like a game that's like fun.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Is.
You were hoping that the recruitment process would go into that more as like how to convince other people to sense that's where it should happen.
I was excited about Kana because her thing was that. It's like, hey, this is not just like a game about touching pieces of paper that match phrases. These phrases mean something. There's like a history behind this. This isn't just like a random game that was created.
Mm.
And so that I did like that part. But yeah, so I'm sure we'll get that. I mean, this is a long series, so I thought we were going to get it here and we didn't, but that's okay. Kind of the same motivation for these two boys. I don't know what the vibe of this club's going to be. Is this the point where we should talk about Chihaya?
Okay, let's hear it.
As a character. So Chihaya keeps calling Nishida fat all the time as like a joke, but not even like as a joke. I don't really understand what's going on here. I mean, obviously that's like a supposed to be comedy for the show. I don't think she's like intentionally bullying him. Mm-hmm. But what I think about Chihaya is that she is extremely childlike in a way that bothers me, or like that I'm not buying into.
Yeah, like she should have more social awareness and consideration for others, but she's very much like, it's all about the thing she's obsessed with, which is Carta, and, you know, getting these other members is just for the sake of having more people to talk about this thing that she likes and to be able to compete with this thing that she likes. So, you know, kind of this has just been a problem for her constantly, is that she doesn't think and bigger ideas or like how it will affect anything other than in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, even like her both of her recruitments for these, like, I mean, I kind of feel like low-key Taichi is MVP of these two episodes, being the person who actually recruits these people, because like her recruitment technique for Tsutomu is like, hey, you're smart, you should play this game for smart people. Also, I bought you food as a bribe, here you go. And Tsutomu's like, okay, but like, what's in it for me? I don't care about any of these things. And then she just drags them off. It's very like, I don't know.
Those. Yeah, I mean, Taichi is definitely, she has like a very peculiar origin with it, I guess. Like, it was more about having a thing for herself rather than Carta specifically. And then also it's like a connection to Arda that she's kind of, attached to, and so she just has like blinders on, but I think with these external forces coming into her inner circle, like what we saw with Kana and her learning about the backstory of the poems, that these characters will be like other pathways for her to grow as a person, in Carta the game and just as a human, I guess. So, like, it'll be good for her to have more different types of folks and not just super Carta motivated people.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, again, you know, you're asking me, like, am I more into the sports aspect or am I more into the character aspect? This is the thing I'm going to be interested in, because Chihaya is very, like, self-absorbed.
Yes.
Kind of unable to think about what other people would prioritize or think about or would want to be called.
Yep.
Because she is still like an elementary school kid. And so I'm interested to see if the show spends time on that or not.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, because so far it has not been framed like a problem. Because you are supposed to, like, the show accepts like her.
That's who she is.
Yeah, I mean, like, she is very earnest. She does have, like, the childlike earnest wonder kind of thing feel to it, which I think is the thing you're supposed to like. And is the way that she's able to kind of connect with other people. But that's not going to be enough, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, who would you say your favorite character is right now? Because I would say it's Tai Chi for me.
Oh, man, shit in I the do not like but... Tai Chi.
But he's shown growth since being a child. Like, he's not like Chihaya where he hasn't changed.
Yeah, but he is still kind of a jerk. I mean, again, he's like, he's good at recruiting these guys, but he's good at recruiting these guys because they have the same problem as him. Like, I don't think he could have recruited Kana. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think he cares about the poetry stuff.
Well, he's more so doing it for Chihaya. Like, oh, Chihaya wants these members, so I'm doing it for her rather than, like, caring about relating to these guys.
Yeah. Who's my favorite? I don't know. Everyone's kind of running a net negative right now. I mean, I like Arata. I do like Arata, but he's not really in the show right now. I like Kana. I like, I kind of like Nishida.
Yeah. He's cool. And he's good.
And he's good. Yeah. And he's like,
Tai Chi's acknowledging he's not a good person for Chihaya to practice because she won't improve because she's not getting challenged. But Nishida is clearly has the talent for it. So he'll be good for Chihaya.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of standoffish, but you are going to a club where the main club member keeps calling you fat. So, I mean, I think you deserve to be standoffish. You can be a jerk to them, whatever.
Yeah. Let's see. There is a character that we haven't really talked about much, but and you called her the tennis coach. She's also Chihaya's, I think, homeroom teacher. And students call her the Empress, I think, because she's like really stern and stuff. But so she's kind of like the only adult figure we've seen consecutively within these episodes. So just, I guess, keep an eye on her a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. She does show up. I didn't really mention it because nothing she did was really that important. No. It just like showed her face.
I mean, she noticed that like Chihaya was talking to Nishida and that Nishida was off after that. And, you know, so she's like kind of perceiving.
Yeah, I mean, she's paying attention to the Karata Club. And, like, she is. But, like, you know, he says he's going to quit and she's, like, lets him. I mean, she doesn't, like, try to convince him not to.
Because I think she can see that he didn't care that much about it. It's just, like, or he seems much more excited about Karata in this conversation she has with him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, that were these episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to watch more. Because now we've got the crew. Now it'll be more like getting to know them. What are their play styles of Karata? Because we've seen kind of what like Tai Chi and Chihaya's are. But like seeing new ways to play the game will be interesting. And kind of learning it along with the newbies, Kana and
Tsutomu.
And forming the club officially, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I feel like the vibes of this club are going to be bad. I think the social dynamic in this club is starting off in a bad place.
Yeah. Well, it's not like camaraderie based. It's like peace together. And then Chihaya is just in it for that, and then Tai Chi is basically having to clean up her messes that she can't be bothered to manage. Like,
it's such a mess because it's like Chihaya loves Karata, like genuinely likes it, likes to play with people. Tai Chi seems kind of indifferent to Karata, like does kind of like it, but isn't going to go out of his way for it. Pretty much only in this club because he has a gigantic crush on Chihaya. You know, he's like, he's still got that girlfriend. Fine. Yeah, he's still got that girlfriend, maybe. Oh my god, I didn't even think about that. Rancid.
Neither has he.
Yeah. So that, I don't know if he's really that interested in anybody else in the club. I mean, he was teaching Kana and Stomu.
Yeah. You know,
they seem fine. Kana, who's just in it for like the lore of the game, like not like the background. Like, I don't even know if she likes playing it. Doesn't really know anybody else in the club. Tsutomu, who like probably hates Tai Chi or like is competitive with him and like as like a rival that Tai Chi does not acknowledge, doesn't seem to be very social, also kind of just like learning this game out of obligation to, doesn't really seem like that interested in the gameplay itself part, right?
Well, he's then, taking the level of seriousness he has to study, he's now applying to Karada, so he's like taking in depth notes at every word and this and that, so
yeah,
he's in it.
Yeah, he's in it. And then we have Nishida, who's just likes Karuta, doesn't seem to like anybody else in this club.
With good reason.
With good reason, especially not Chihaya. Probably gonna bond the most with Tai Chi or something. And just likes playing it, kind of. But he only wants to play against people that are good, so he can only play against Chihaya.
They're all second years, I think. And Chihaya is in the same class as Tsutomu.
Mm-hmm.
So at least he'll have someone in his classroom now that we'll see. I don't know that we saw her really. Is she going to fall back on his nickname now and call him Dustomu?
I think she was.
Is in the class of people who have been calling him that. It's not like she did anything to stand up for him like she did for Arda when they were kids and he's being made fun of in class.
Yeah. I think she does call him Desk-kun, right? She calls him that.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I can't, but probably. I feel like none of them are going to want or develop that deep of friendships with Chihaya. I feel like she'll be on like a different level and then the rest of the group will get closer as like normal humans. And then they'll be like, Chihaya. She's an odd duck, that one.
She's like the mascot. What are we?
Yeah.
It's like everybody else something is going like to form that. Normal human connections. And then there's Chihaya being a little freak over there.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. I hope it doesn't become like that. I hope she does want to
get better
yeah. And like be friends. I do kind of want the sports anime to be about a bunch of friends that play sports, not about a bunch of individuals who play sports together incidentally.
Yeah. Well, they have to come together as individuals and then get to that point. So that's part of the journey versus like starting off as friends.
Yeah. Yep. So I hope it develops like that.
Uh-huh. You don't sound hopeful.
So far I have not been.
Do you not like this show?
The show is fine. It just isn't. I'm confused about what it's doing. I don't know what the priorities of the show are yet, right? I mean, it's only 8 episodes in.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this is a show about friendship or if this is a show about. I don't know what it's about, basically.
It could be both. It just maybe needs to be better at balancing them.
Well, but like, what's it going to spend time on is what I'm saying, right? Like, is it going to, like, what's it going to spend? Like, is it going to be about the sport? Or is it going to be about catching up to Arata? Okay. Is it going to be about, like, achieving your dreams? Like, what are we going to spend time on?
Like, most sports anime, it's like they're all gung-ho for this one goal. So, like, there's not a lot of external things outside of the sport happening in the plot. So it's very focused on the sport aspect and then like the team, you know, teamwork that goes with that just happens for the sake of being better at the sport, kind of. But this is like there's more elements going on in it. It's like not a dedicated sports anime, but it is a big part. And then there's like the characters and the relationships between them and all that. So it's different. You know, I don't know why it's Jose, but like it's really a different approach to the sports anime genre than the few others that I've watched. Because normally it's like they just have cool looking characters that you like watching doing cool things.
Uh-huh.
But you don't know that much about them necessarily. Or they're like, it's all cheesy, like, you know, my dream.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know what it's going to focus on. Cause I know in the genre space, there's like some things you can focus on, right? Like this can be about people's relationships with each other. I know that that's like the horny swimming ones about that. It can be about like what you want to do with your life.
Swimming one?
Yeah, free.
Free.
I know it's about those two guys who are like reconnecting over time. Like I know it could be about something. Like, you know, I read Blue Box or whatever, which is like the badminton one, which is like a romance thing, right? And also kind of sports. But like, I'm just wanting to know, like, what else is it going to be besides just the sport part? Like, is it going to focus on, like, when it's not the sport, what's it going to focus on?
We'll see.
We'll see. I just don't know what it is yet because we've mostly just been doing, like, plotty plot stuff, which is fine.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Well,
I hope you don't think I hate the show. I just.
You hate it.
I do not
just
hate
like you hate me.
That's right. I started a whole podcast to let you know this.
Oh man.
It's all been leading
one
up
of my
to this.
Favorite
Friendship
animes.
Over.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll get into more in-depth conversation about something else with our new recommendation format.
Oh, that's right.
Do you want to go first or
yeah,
or
okay. Yeah, so last time you recommended me. Well, you recommended two things. The one I went with is I checked out Forgotten Anne, which is I'm also playing it on the Switch.
Yeah.
You know, again, like action platformer kind of thing in that world where like lost objects become animated with this goo. What's it called? I don't remember what it's called. It's like some kind of energy source. And you're like in the Undercity. I've probably played like 2 hours or so, like 2 or 3 hours maybe.
Okay. I haven't played much other than or past that either, so
okay. So you
I just like the vibe of it.
Yeah, so yeah. You mentioned that there's like a revolution happening in some stuff. So
maybe
I'm gonna re-say no. What the premise is just in case you don't know.
Okay.
So you play as Anne, who is a human woman who's basically an enforcer with the power to kill any of these things at will. with pretty much no oversight, you could just kind of do it. And you work for a guy whose name, I don't remember his name, but he's like the director or whatever. And they're trying to build a bridge out of this realm back into the real world, right? So all of these lost objects are recruited / forced into working on this bridge with the promise that they'll get a ticket out back into the real world if they accomplish their job correctly, and perhaps the working conditions are bad and maybe you're the baddies because there is a revolution going on. The first scene is like rebels blowing up parts of the city or whatever because they don't like the treatment. Actually, we haven't really gotten a lot on like what the rebels like politics or demands are. That's just kind of the vibe of it. A scarf breaks into your house. And it's like, you can press A to suck the magic life juice out of the scarf. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll suck the magic life juice out of the scarf. And then I do that and he dies. And then I get a little thing that says, that could have gone differently. And I'm like, okay. So
I kind of remembered it right. I just didn't remember that we're on the opposing side of this rebellion.
Yeah. We are the man who people don't like. I think maybe there's a good reason. There's like literally a part where one of the like she's like a lamp or something who like does maintenance on one of the gates is like, oh, rebels like got through because they like rushed in and I couldn't stop them. And like you end up talking to like the director guy and he's like, should we replace that? The lamp chick by sucking the life out of her and assigning it to someone else. And you basically have to be like, no, she did her best. You don't have to do that. Or you could just be like, yeah, we should just kill her. Like, whatever. Recycle her.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's so.
Okay, so choices matter.
It's so obvious that you were the bad guys. It's crazy to me.
Okay, well, what are your thoughts so far?
I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm like, I'm doing a thing where I have to like do a little bit of sleuthing. I have to like figure out who a traitor is. Is it like a guy who works at the train station or the conductor? And I guess I do it by torturing one of them, maybe is the solution. So that's interesting. We'll see how it goes. I think it's interesting. I think that it's doing all that stuff intentionally. Like, I think there are going to be some interesting things going on in this. They're obviously engaging with like real politics or like politics in some way. So I think I'll like it for that reason. We'll see how it goes. But
it's darker than I remember.
Yes, I thought this was going to be a little more Animal Crossing than it ended up being, which was like immediately like. Will you it's execute been a,
it's
this
been a
rebel
few years since I played it. Oh my god.
So that was kind of we'll incredible. See. Yeah, I'm going to say the platforming is kind of hard. Like, I don't really love the flying mechanics, but I do like the shifting, like the puzzle part. Like, the puzzle part, I like the platforming part. I find, like, kind of, I don't know if it's because it's on the Switch. Maybe it's just the Switch controls don't feel great to me. But I do like the puzzle part. The puzzle part's pretty solid.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so I'll keep playing it. Right. I'll check back in, let you know if we are the baddies or not.
Okay. All right, and then I decided to watch what you recommended, which let me try and get the name right off the top of my head. It's just Gundam Witch of Mercury, the witch from Mercury of Mercury.
Yep. What's the name? Mobile Suit Gundam, okay. The Witch from Mercury.
Okay, yes. And I'm learning, it's Gundam. It's like Gunam.
No. Gunbam.
Okay, that's what I thought. But then I feel like they're saying something else in the show.
Oh, okay. So the show is going to call the material something different. But the franchise is called Gundam. So Gundam is a portmanteau of gun and freedom.
I would not have guessed that.
Which is fun. The thing they're talking about, it's also made of like Gundaminium sometimes. Like there's always some like goofy stuff in the world that like is like in this specific one, they call it Gunim or whatever.
Okay. Cause I was like, have I been saying this wrong my entire life?
No.
Okay. 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 So it starts with a prologue episode, which is about who our main protagonist is going to be, which I'm confused if it's like they release that first and then like, change some stuff, but like because her name is like Airy, but then after the prologue her name is Suel, so I'm like, is that like an undercover name or did they just like, oh, we hate that name, let's switch it to a different name? But your protagonist, what, and I guess everyone, she's Suel Mercury because she's from Mercury, so I guess there's not last names or something. And then there's like Spacians and Earthians and like prejudice against people from Earth versus people from space and corporate politics stuff that is like not the thing that I like don't really care about in these mecha shows, but it does have the like kind of coming of age aspects to it of like attending, being a new student at school and stuff like that, which makes it better. I don't like our main girl's eyebrows. Like, you can do the like rounded eyebrow like that, but hers are like overly dramatically huge.
She's got,
she is cute.
For anybody, you want to describe what she looks like for like the.
Okay, so she's like kind of tan and she's got like red, not like orange, like red hair that's kind of like. Messy or going all over the place with a ponytail. She's got like blue eyes and happy demeanor. And then her like I guess counterpart that's the more formal fancy gal. What's her name?
Miorine.
I like that name. Basically, she's the ice chick from Ruby, anime style, all corporate-y and white hair and white skin, and her dad sucks and he's the big head honcho of things, and it's the corporate stuff owns the school, I guess, and her dad owns it all, so he's like. Okay, and whoever wins duels and is like the strongest mobile suit pilot is the one who gets to marry my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that sucks. And so, like, the reigning guy is douchebag. and then this new girl beats him in a duel. And then she's now the fiance of the chick. And apparently, oh, and I like the thing where it's like, but I'm a girl. And then she's like, oh, I guess you're more conservative over on Mercury. That's fine here. But like, they call her the groom still, which is weird. Yeah. Why? Just call her the fiance.
It's
why?
The title. I don't know. It's just like,
it's weird. And I mean, the combat is cool because it's like not super 3D ish that some of them are.
Yeah.
Where it's like, ew, gross looking. Like, it looks nice. The suits and the combat and stuff. I'm watching it in dub.
Oh, okay. I have not watched
this. This is probably the most incoherent summary of this ever, but like
yeah, it's like a big thing about Celetta's character that I think might be useful if you haven't seen it is that she is also like a huge ball of nerves, like just like shaking all the time like a chihuahua, and is like very uncomfortable in every social setting except for when she's piloting her Gundam, in which case she is like super relaxed and normal.
So I've watched the first 3 or 4 episodes.
Okay.
And I am liking it so far. So I'll keep watching it. I thought this was the season with those pretty boys you had lined up in that one photo, but I guess that's a different one.
Oh, no, that's Gundam Wing. That's a different Gundam series.
Okay. But there is a guy. There's a guy in the show that looks like Howl from Howl's Moving Castle, but with like kind of greenish blonde hair instead. But he has like the same vibe as him and everything.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
But yeah. So I'll keep you posted on my thoughts there. But yeah, look at me watching my first Gundam show ever. I feel like these shows, just like a lot of things are not elaborated on. Why are they called witches? Why?
Yes. Yeah.
This and that. And I mean, I'm assuming it's just witches and like someone against the whole Bennett whatever corporation. It's like a bunch of corporations combined to make one force. And then I guess they have competitors as well.
Yeah.
See, this is the stuff that just goes over my head. Like, I'll be more in it for like the fun, cutesy girl time and like cool fight scenes. More than the like grand scheme things.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think that is generally the way that you like that is a way you can engage with it. It's just like mostly just like the character drama piece. You don't really need to know what's going on with the like other stuff, like because they will just like drop stuff in there being like, oh, this whatever military faction's saying this. And you're like, I'm sorry, who?
Yeah.
Like that'll happen all the time, especially in, like this one's a little more like because it's only 2 seasons, right? And it does feel like the last season got a little like it should have been longer. I don't know if it actually was supposed to be or not. But there is like a lot of stuff like that where like you don't really need to understand everything that's going on. You can kind of just stick with like the character drama and that'll like get you through the most of it. Because this one is a little bit messier than I feel like most Gundams are. Or at least the ones I've watched are a little more contained, less sprawling with like a bunch of things in it. You know what I mean?
You know, did you ever watch a show called Chrome Shelled Regos?
Chrome Shelled Regos?
I feel like it was on Netflix. I feel like I watched maybe half of the first season of that and it was okay. But that's kind of a, well, not exactly mech, but similar vibe where they're like at a combat academy thing or something.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the guy, the blonde guy, who's tan, who's like monitoring the duels or whatever.
Shadik.
And certain lighting, he's pretty hot.
With the super sometimes long hair. Sometimes
his hair color looks weird. Yeah, but yeah. He's hot. That's not dress code, I don't think. His whole getup.
Oh, his entire ass chest being out. His like, shirt is like totally open.
Yes.
Dude, the student council so goofy.
Okay, is that who they are? I know that he had like a little posse with them, like the kid with the tablet and then. Howl from Howl's Moving Castle is one of them. And then some chick.
Yeah. They're like all different. They're like also high ups in the respective companies that like make up the school, essentially. Like, mm-hmm. It's very, you know, oh, anybody can challenge to be like the top duelist, but you have to bring your own mech. And
yeah, that's not in the budget.
Yeah, it's not in the budget. So like pretty much only the like heirs of the different companies can really compete effectively.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works. So it's all very, so there's like a lot of different like things you can look into it and being like, oh, well, this is like the privatization that the neolibs want, right? This is the corporate control that, you know,
yeah,
some type of politics aspire to. This is what it looks like in this. So there's like some stuff going on that I think you can read into if you want to, but you don't have to because it ultimately doesn't matter.
Okay, cool. I shall not be. Cool. Well, yeah. Look at, yeah. So we're both doing this, checking the recommendations out. So yay for that. We'll, I guess, update on that front as we move forward. Anything our listeners can do for us, Joe?
Yes, if you enjoyed the show, please rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. Put us on there. You know, it's just been the end of the year. It's a good time to start some new stuff and get some new resolutions going on to rate all your podcasts that you listen to. Also, tell your friends to listen to things. If you have friends that like Chihayafuru or any of the other shows, we've covered several other shows up to this point. We've covered Angelic Lair, we've covered Kimi Todoke, we've covered Skip Beat. Any interest in any of those, this would be a great time because all of those episodes are published and done. So if you want to just binge all of those episodes, you can have us accompanying you the entire time. And if you have any friends that are interested in those episodes, you can send them on their way with us right alongside with them. So please let people know. You can post about it on social media. You can interact with our social media accounts on Instagram and TikTok,
which I think is what's the current status of the ban on that?
It's still there. I can still download it. It's fine. Okay. If you have any questions,
one of our top listeners, because it's the end of the year, so we're getting like Spotify Wrapped.
Oh, did we?
Raps. Yeah, so if you're one of our top 10 fans, which I think you just had to listen maybe for a certain amount of time or something, and that makes you one of them, so we got 10 folks who qualified for that. Thanks for listening. Same on YouTube, and I don't know if Apple's gonna jump on the bandwagon of having a rap thing at
I don't
the
think so
of the year. Okay, it's like I a pretty like hands-off it.
Application.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay, but like the Spotify Wrapped like genre thing bullshit is all AI generated and it sucks.
Oh yeah, well I just because normally I'll listen to either my liked songs, just all of them, all thousands of them that there are, or it'll make a playlist from your top songs of each year. So I'll like sometimes just go through that. I feel like mine is always a mixed bag. This year was Third Eye Blind. Third Day's Grace, I think is what I was gonna say. But it's just I think it's fun to, although sometimes it's like I don't know that I listen to it that much, but if you were listening to us on there, thanks. We're not big enough to record our own little thanks for listening video thing that they have for some artists, like I guess, but
this is the best you get. Everybody gets it and we all thank you.
And then if you want to go back on, if you want to contact us directly, you can do so via email shoujopod@gmail.com. And we'll be sure to respond.
Yeah.
Word of mouth, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
do all that stuff. All that.
Okay. Anything you want to wrap on, Joe?
Remember, when someone tells you to stop calling them a name, you should just stop calling them a name.
Yes, that is the correct thing to do.
You should do that. Also, when you try to convince somebody to like join your club or do something, you should think about what's in it for them instead of just asking them over and over and over again.
Just annoy them into submission.
Just annoy them into submission. That's right. Don't do that.
Joe, you're getting more gray hair. Oh. How exciting. It's notice. I can see it's like right on your temple. You're getting some gray hair there.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
For pointing that out.
I don't know.
Cool.
I think gray hair is cool. So
yeah, you
very
sure
distinguished looking.
Are looking old too, I guess.
Okay.
On that
no,
note.
I wish I would get gray hair. Okay.
You don't.
All right,
shut
folks.
Up.
Yeah. Because if I get a bunch of gray hair, then I can just dye my hair gray and then it'll just be gray forever and I don't have to dye it ever again and save a ton of money.
But you could just dye it from gray to something else. It's like the ultimate, because then you don't have to worry about like washing the color out. Because it's gray.
Yeah.
Then you can color it all the time. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to worry about your natural hair color because it's gray now. So you could just do whatever.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You don't have to worry because you're just like, oh, if I bleach, it'll damage my hair. But it's like, I mean, it's already gray. What's the big deal?
Anyways.
Yeah, bye.
Excellent ending note.
We're old now. Goodbye.
Well, we'll do something cool for our 1 year anniversary.
February,
like,
right?
3 months. Yeah, so.
Oh, dude, you think there's going to be a Christmas special? I don't think there's going to be a Chihaya Furu Christmas special. We really blew it on Kimi ni Todoke having those Christmas specials.
I was going to say, I think most shoujos have a Christmas special.
Okay. I'm just going to scroll through.
Couples holiday.
The episodes.
Do not do that.
I'm just going to scroll through the episode titles.
What if the thumbnail ruins it?
It's not going to ruin it.
Sometimes they do.
It's fine.
Don't look.
None of these have Santa in it. No.
Well, none of the names reflect what's happening in the
Santas.
Show anyways.
Oh man, is this even a shoujo with zero Santas? Let's go to season two.
No, actually it's
here?
Not. It's a Jose.
Nope, no Santas. Wait, nope. They're just wearing red. That's not Santa.
Fat looking.
Season three. Santas? Nope. Zero Santas spotted. Nope. 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 Oh, there's a behind the scenes of Chihaya Furu in season three, 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we're done.